And of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There were three times a year that every Jewish male was required to come to Jerusalem for a feast. It was not necessary for the whole family to come, but the Jewish males were required. First was for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that is the Passover. I was remembering and giving thanks for God delivering the people from slavery in Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. He did that according to his promise. He conquered the gods of Egypt and led them out. So each year, they were to remember this and give thanks for it. 50 days later, they gathered again for the Feast of Pentecost. This is the Feast of First Fruits. This was a time when they remembered and gave thanks for the giving of the law and that they were God's people. They were named God's people by his word and not anything that they had done. So they remembered the grace and the calling and the good ordering of the world that our God has given. And yet one more time they gathered at the Feast of Booths, at the harvest feast in the fall. At this feast, it's called the Feast of Booths because this is when they remembered, gave thanks for the Lord caring for them for the 40 years in the desert, feeding them, caring for them, giving them life. So three times a year they came together. Three times a year, families, some came, some didn't. But each year they remembered who they were. They remembered and gave thanks for what God had given them and done for them and still gives them through his word of grace. Three times a year, they came together as one people, as one body, as one church. Their faith was strengthened as they heard their fellows from other nations and yet of the same people speak the same words and sing the same prayers. They were strengthened in love as they remembered that they were not the only ones in the world and that there were others of the same confession that needed their help. And they went back home and were strengthened for the daily fight. That's where Jesus and his mother and his father went. And that's where Jesus stayed. He stayed in Jerusalem at his father's house, among his father's things, about his father's business. And his parents did not understand. They began looking and found, ironically, that they had lost the Son of God in the flesh. I imagine this is a bit of that fulfilling of Simeon's words that a sword would pierce Mary's heart. For here she had been given the charge of raising the Son of God, and here she had lost him. Can you imagine the panic of Joseph and Mary? Gone were all the promises that they had remembered of who God was and what he had done. All they remembered was their responsibility, and they forgot it. They were terrified. So for a little while, they were in doubt and fear. But for a little while. There's really two ways that we can lose Christ. Of course, he never leaves his promise. He never despairs of us. But we can lose him. First and most dangerous way is by unbelief. Is by walking away from his promises, rejecting him and saying, no, those are not for me. Thinking Christ died on the cross, but I don't need that. That's not something that is important. Or falling under the traps of this world finding other gods that give you more than what you think you need, or all that you want. The only way back then, the only way to find Christ again is by repentance, by remembering his promises, and by going to where he is found, alone. But there's also the type of losing that happens to the Christian, like Mary and Joseph, where fear and doubt overcome us, or where we think that we can continue in a type of sin and not get any punishment. They seemed fine until they remembered that Christ was not there. It was when they remembered God's word that they were terrified. So we, without the word of God, without being called back, can remain in sin, can be persistent in doing those things that we know drive out the spirits and faith, and yet continue in it anyway. But that is not always the case. Sometimes we get afraid and doubt what our Lord is doing for us, and cry out with the psalmist, with David, with Elijah, with so many Christians of so many generations, where are you? I feel no presence. I see no hope. Maybe it'll get better, but right now is when I need you. Right now, where are you? Think of David hiding in the cave after Saul was pursuing him, seeking his death. For a little while, they had to wait. For a metaphorical 3 days, they waited until Christ was found again. Or what about Martha? Waiting outside of Lazarus' tomb. What about Mary? Jesus was their friend. He had come and ate with them. They had heard his word and promise. They had told him that Lazarus was sick and he was nowhere around. And Lazarus died. Consider waiting those 4 days. Wondering, where is Jesus? Jesus' answer to his parents caused Mary to treasure it up in her heart. They didn't quite understand it, but it caused her to think. He said, "Why were you looking for me? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business, in my Father's house, about my Father's things." For where was he? He was in Jerusalem, at the temple, speaking and considering the promises of God, receiving instruction and giving instruction, asking questions and giving answers, living in the very word of his Father. For a little while, Mary and Joseph had forgotten that this son was the Son of God, and that Jesus will always be found among his Father's things. It is that same word about which he was gathered that goes out and rings out to every nation in this day and age. The call rings out, "Come unto me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me, all you whose gods have failed them, who are lost or hurt Come to me, for this is where I am. He is in the New Jerusalem. He is in the Word of God. He's in the gathering of the saints. Because that's where the Word of God is heard and meditated. That's where He blesses you. This is where He always will be. We don't have to wait till three times a year to go to Jerusalem across the Atlantic Ocean. He has promised the new temple, the new Jerusalem. Christ Himself has promised to be where His word is preached and heard, where His people are gathered in prayer. That is where Jesus is found. So when you feel lost, when you wonder where He is, you don't look in, you look out. You look into His word and hear it. And remember His promises that Christ is with you when He forgives your sins. And if that wasn't enough, if the word wasn't enough to comfort us, He gave us something called, in the history of the church, we've called it the visible word, where He's bound that word to something physical. And this is truly what gathers us together. Because only in the church, only among His people, among those of the same confession of faith, of those who call themselves Christians, that's where baptism is given. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Where is He? Right there. And He gave that to you so that we remember that He is with us and among us. I don't think you have to doubt where I'm going next. Well, what clearer way could we have of where Jesus is than where He says, "This is my body. This is my blood." Where is Jesus? Where He says He is. The clearest, the most comforting, the most certain place that Christ our Lord is found is among His Father's things. His prophets and apostles being heard, His baptism being administered, and His body and blood being distributed to you. And so we, like the Jews of old, can come together freely whenever we choose and be strengthened in faith and love among the Father's things and by Christ Himself. In the name of Jesus, Amen.